So it was my senior year. It was a Friday night. And I had just walked into the house after my SAT prep class. And my parents were like peppering me with questions about how was the class, what did you learn? And my friend was in the driveway. And he was waiting for me because we were about to go to the first high school football game of the year. Now I'm quickly getting changed and dressed. And as I'm rushing out the door, my father says, "Joe, be careful and don't be home late." Now, of course, I said, "Yeah, yeah, Dad, don't worry," and ran out. We went to the football game. You know, for those that know high school football, especially in Northern Virginia, it's not just about the game. It's also about the social interaction, hanging out with friends. And we had a fantastic time. It was amazing. And after the game, we went to a nearby park where we were spending time with friends, hanging out the way high school kids do. And I was knee-deep in conversation when all of a sudden there was this commotion. And I looked up and I saw these multiple flashes and heard these loud noises. And before I knew it, my entire body went numb. The people around me dispersed in slow motion, and I knew something was terribly wrong. I ended up walking to the curb, and I was wearing white that night. I had a white shirt and white jeans, and they were drenched in blood. And of course, I was reaching into my pocket because I was trying to get the pack of cigarettes out of my pocket because my parents would whip my ass. And I got to the curb, and my friends, they saw that I was in trouble, and they laid me down on the curb, and I started choking on my blood. So they sat me up. And at that point, there was a medevac above us, and the EMS had arrived. And I get into the back of this ambulance, and they take me to Nova Fairfax Hospital. And on the way there, I could see myself answering the questions of the medic. I couldn't talk. I was just saying yes or no. And I get rolled into this trauma center, and there's healthcare professionals, you know, gowned up, ready to do whatever they could to save my life. Now I was 17. I was scared as hell. And in the corner, there was a resident and one of the docs arguing about what they should do. And as this was happening, the trauma surgeon, Dr. Bob Ahmed, walks in the room. And he looks at all this chaos and he says to them, "What in the fuck are you all doing?" I'll never forget it. He unlocked the gurney and he rolled me to the operating room. Now I'm laying down on the operating room table. There's a bright light shining in my eyes. And that bright light went away because he leaned his head over me. And I can still see the white of his eyes. And he said, "Joe, I have to do this to save your life." The next day I woke up, it was 12 o'clock, and I remember it so distinctly. The clock was right in front of me. I had just gotten my first job at Herschel Family Pet Center, and I was supposed to be at work at 12. So I was like, shit, I'm going to be late. I looked around, and I could see my parents and my siblings, and there was tears coming down their eyes, and I knew something bad had happened. I would come to find out that I was shot in the throat with a .38 caliber bullet. I had a ruptured windpipe, the carotid artery, that blood vessel that runs blood to your brain, was injured, and as some of you can hear, had a paralyzed vocal cord. After months of recovery, I was home at this point. I had a tracheostomy tube. I had these beet red scars up and down my neck, and I was standing in the bathroom, and I was looking in the mirror, and I was pissed off. I was angry. What I didn't realize is my father was standing in the corner. And I think, like, you know, any dad, he could see that look of devastation in my eyes. And Pops walked in and he said, "Look, Joe," he said, "what happened to you was terrible. But either you can feel sorry for yourself," and I think, you know, tough love, especially from an immigrant dad, "or you can take this moment and turn it into something that impacts the lives of other people." And I think that's when everything kind of came together. It was that red light that I realized that I had the opportunity, the second chance, to give other people the same second chance that I was given. It's what inspired me to go into medicine. It's what inspired me to become a trauma surgeon. And at that time, I had no idea that I was going to be doing the stuff that I'm doing today, because as you'll hear, I'm working beyond the trauma center, because what I realized is that despite how good I may think I am, despite how awesome the Johns Hopkins Trauma Center is, when someone comes in that's shot in the head, there's very little that we can do. And the best medical treatment is prevention. And that's what led me to working really at the intersection of medicine, public health, and public policy. Some of you will remember in 2018, the NRA told doctors that they should stay in their lane. I remember I was sitting just a stone's throw away from here at home, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? You know, we're like the ones at the center, right, of taking care of these patients. We're having to talk to these moms and dads and tell them that their child that left that morning is not coming home again. So that's when I got on Twitter and I said, I came up with the handle, This Is Our Lane. And I think, you know, I had no idea at that point what was going to happen. What I realized, though, it was an organic moment. Not just doctors. There were nurses, technicians, researchers, people across the entire healthcare spectrum that came together and said, this is our lane. And I think it taught me something incredibly powerful. When you look at us as healthcare professionals, right, and you think about some of the social issues our country is facing, whether it's gun violence or COVID or racism or health inequity or immigration or climate change or abortion, they're so interconnected into health. And we are trusted public messengers. So as I tell all my colleagues, we have both the opportunity and the responsibility to think beyond the operating room, beyond the trauma center, to try to change the lives of people. For far too long, a lot of us have sat on the sidelines, but we can't sit on the sidelines any longer. And I would just say to all of you here, you can be part of that solution as well. The most important thing that you can do in the next few weeks is vote. Thank you.